Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today stretches across all three readings. I'll just quote from John chapter 12, our gospel lesson for today. Verse 12, "The next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him." This is God's word. One major problem people face in relationships is when expectations are not clearly communicated, if they're communicated at all. Most people are not mind readers. We need to know what our spouse expects of us, what our parents expect of us, what our boss expects of us, what our teacher expects of us, even what our friends expect. So we have something to shoot for. It isn't fair to punish someone for not living up to expectations that have never been stated. But that doesn't stop it from happening all the time. Expectations are a part of life. You call 911, you expect help to come. You go to a movie, you expect to be entertained. You go to church, you expect to hear about Jesus. You'd have a right to be disappointed if those expectations were not met. And so it is that some of you, hopefully many of you, came here today with the expectation that you would hear about the events of Palm Sunday. You would hear about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey's colt. You would hear about people waving palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us now." You would hear about people laying their garments in the road, and the Pharisees voicing their disapproval. This is a victory parade. The king has come to the city of peace in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. And at the same time, it's worth asking, what were the expectations of the people waving the branches and cheering for Jesus? What were they expecting him to do? Well, the palm branches, for which this day is named, provide a major clue. Palm fronds were a symbol of triumph. Today we would probably pick up a flag or make a sign and hold that up. But during the years of the Roman occupation, the palm branch had tremendous symbolic value. Dr. Paul Meyer writes that the palm was the national emblem of an independent Palestine. These were Jewish flags being waved. Having seen Jesus do the miraculous, many were convinced that he would use his power to break Roman rule and turn back the clock to the glory days of King David. When they shouted, Hosanna, save us now. Many were shouting, save us from these rotten Romans. When Jesus is blessed as the King of Israel, many people had a political kingdom in mind. Their expectations of Jesus were colored by their circumstances, and when their Messiah-led rebellion seemed to end in failure at the cross, well, we don't hear anyone shouting Hosanna at Calvary, do we? In less than a week's time, those messianic expectations were dashed to pieces. Expectations. What expectations do you have of God? Could it be that my expectations are similar to those held by the people at the Palm Sunday parade? Those folks wanted Jesus to lead them straight to glory, to get rid of what they perceived was their biggest trouble. And many abandoned Him when He did not. Don't I really want a Palm Sunday Jesus? Don't I expect Jesus to answer most, if not all, of my prayers with a yes? Don't I tend to pull away from Him a little? Maybe a lot? When He doesn't do things my way? The God we want is one who will guarantee us victories in life. That with a little bit of God, not too much, mind you, my mood will be better, my relationships more fulfilling, I'll feel better about myself, certainly have more security and prosperity. Are those expectations right? Is that why Jesus went to Jerusalem that day? Well, Jesus' own expectations were always crystal clear. He told His disciples in straightforward language that He was going to Jerusalem to die and on the third day rise again. His disciples were confused by this, and you may remember that Peter actually tried to talk him out of it. There's some irony to the shouts of Hosanna and save us now at that first Palm Sunday, because that's exactly what Jesus had come to do. Just not in the way that anyone expected. Jesus did not ride that donkey into Jerusalem to improve our lives, but to save them. The King of Kings did not ride into Jerusalem to replace Roman rulers, but to rescue the human race. Jesus did not endure the agony of the cross to change the political landscape, but to fundamentally change us. Instead of marching immediately to a throne, Jesus stumbled up a hill and was executed. This was not some miscalculation on Jesus' part. It was the plan. It had been from the beginning. God had a choice. He could either punish you and me for our sin, or He could punish someone else. His own Son, Jesus, was that someone else. Jesus answered the Hosanna request. We are saved now. Because He took our death sentence. The King took the punishment His subjects deserved. This was not the salvation that anyone was expecting. It's not always or even often what we're looking for from God. But what Jesus has done meets your deepest need. You can know that you are fully loved, that you are fully forgiven, that God is for you and not against you. Jesus did not go straight to glory on Palm Sunday. The cross came first. But Jesus would be glorified. This would happen on the third day after His death, when He would physically resurrect and live again. And I think it's safe to say that no one in Jesus' inner circle really expected this to happen. Jesus had told them in advance, but John is very forthcoming. He says His disciples did not understand these things at first. Here we see God delighting in doing the unexpected and indeed the impossible. He lives after dying. He leaves the grave behind. And if you believe that Jesus rode into Jerusalem to go to the cross and then live again, and that He did it to benefit you, then you will also leave your grave behind. You can expect to be with the Lord forever because Jesus did all of these things on your behalf. This is the Christian faith in its purest form. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. Everything else that happens to you in your life, whether wonderful or terrible, happens around the core of this expectation. The greatest joys we experience in life are blessings, to be sure, but they can't compare with the joys of heaven and the life of the recreated world that are coming. The pain and the sorrow and the grief and terror of death that we experience are all balanced by Jesus' suffering and death and overturned by His resurrection. Whatever your expectations of God were when this day started, whatever your expectations were of Jesus when you entered this building today, please hear me on this. Jesus has died your death and offers you new life today. You are forgiven all your sin. You have eternal life starting now. Jesus is alive. And He is with you in your pain. He is with you in your joy. He has joined Himself to you in holy baptism and is absolutely faithful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. To which we can say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head to mortal pain, then take, O God, your power and reign. Reign today, reign in our lives. Amen.